It's such a pleasure to be here. It's such a pleasure to learn with people after so much time where you meet people on a screen, to see 3D people in front of you and to learn together. It's such a chut. It really is. It's a chut, and it's like it's a chamtsan for people, you know, the opportunity to sit and learn together. So I really thank you so much for this opportunity. I spend a lot of my day working for the Iriya, helping Olim integrate in the city. But I have to say, I enjoy learning Torah more than anything else in the world. And therefore, every opportunity to come and to learn Torah with people is something I always jump on. So I'm so grateful for this opportunity to learn something together. And I wanted to learn something on this week's parasha, Parashat HaShavua, but it links beautifully to Yerushalayim, to Yom HaAtzma'ut that we'll be celebrating Be'ezrat Hashem at the end of this week, and particularly to Yerushalayim, as we will see. So I'm going to start, because we have a short amount of time and a huge amount that I would like to learn together, I'm going to start with a pasuk at the beginning of the second of the two parashiyot that we're going to read this week. If you look over there on the side, we're reading Tazria and Mitzora this coming Shabbat, at the beginning of Parashat Mitzora. Parashat Tazria and Mitzora are both talking really about Tzara'at. Tzara'at, this sort of rash that people would see on their skin, and then also on clothing. And finally, it's also something that people would see on the walls of their homes. And the tzara'at on the home is what I want to talk about today. And I want to start for you, everybody, look at that source sheet. If you look at the first source on the sheet, I want to read some psukim together and then discuss them. So the parasha begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aharon lemor. So Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and this is what he said. Ki tavo el Eretz Canaan. When you come to Eretz Canaan. Eretz Canaan is here, the land of Canaan, which is now Israel. Asher ani noten lachem la'achuza. That I give to you, meaning I, Hashem, give to the Jewish people, la'achuza. Achuza is... it's an unusual word, actually. It means possession. Le'choz mashu, exactly. It's to own something, giving it to us as an achuza. V'natati negat tzarat beveit eretz achuzatchem. I will cause the tzarat, meaning for those people for whom tzarat is, you know, people who are received tzarat, I will cause the tzarat on your homes. Be'eretz, be'beit, eretz achuzatchem. Uva asher lo habayit, v'higid la'kohen le'mor, kanega nirali babayit. And then if somebody sees it, they'll call the Kohen will check, and if the Kohen thinks that this is tzara'at, then this house will be a tzara'at-filled home. Now, what's interesting is that tzara'at is limited to the land of Israel. Do you see that? Ki tavol eretz Canaan. When you come to the land of Canaan, then in your homes in the land of Canaan, when you're there, that's when you will experience tzara'at. Now, there are many mitzvot which are mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, the mitzvot that are based in the land of Israel, like Shemitah. The Shemitah year, next year, I understand that's going to be limited to the land of Israel. The Holy Land rests one year in every 7 years, the Shemitah year. We also have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, a mitzvah of coming 3 times a year down the road from here to the Har HaBayit to see the Beit HaMikdash. I understand that's also a mitzvah that could only be relevant in the land of Israel. But why is it tzara'at, according to the Rambam and others, based on the Gemara, that tzara'at is a punishment for someone who speaks Lashon Hara? Now, I hate to say terrible things about the Jewish people, but there are Jewish people in Israel who speak Lashon Hara, but there are also Jews outside of Israel who speak Lashon Hara. It's not a plague that would only affect people in Israel. It's something that's as relevant outside of Israel as it's relevant in Israel. So why is it that the tzara'at, which we will say is a punishment for Lashon Hara, why would tzara'at of the home only occur in Israel, as we see over here, ki tavor el eretz kanan, when you come to the land of Israel, then you will be susceptible for this tzara'at punishment. Why is it that that would only occur in Israel, but it wouldn't occur outside of Israel? That is the question I'd like to think about together. Yeah, all of these things, this we're only talking about tzara'at of the home. The only limitation of tzara'at, and that's a very good point, like we know Miriam did get tzara'at. In fact, the Jews got tzara'at, you know, throughout their time in the Midbar, when they were in the 40 years in the desert. But the tzara'at can infect three areas. It can affect your skin, it can affect your clothing, and it can affect your home. So it can affect the skin anywhere. It can affect the clothing anywhere in the world. But it can only affect your home in Israel. Ki tavol eretz Canaan. When you come to the land of Canaan, when you enter the Holy Land, only then will you be susceptible to receive tzara'at of the home. And the question, really, the question is why? What's the? It's not a mitzvah that is dependent on Israel. It's not like shmita, which is connected to the land, aliyah laregel, going to going to the temple in Jerusalem. That obviously could only happen in Israel. Tzara'at, if we connect it to lashon hara, unfortunately, there's lashon hara everywhere, not just in Israel. Okay, so we're going to look at three approaches to this question. We're going to start with a Kli Yakar, and the Kli Yakar, who we'll see in source number two, talks about a home, talks about how you build a Jewish home in order to avoid tzara'at. That's the first approach. The second approach we're going to look at is the Netziv. The Netziv doesn't look at a Jewish home, but the Netziv explains a Jewish society. What's a Jewish society? What environment would cause the spread of tzara'at? And how can we create a society without tzara'at, meaning without lashon hara? And finally, we're going to look at the Chizkuni and Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, and they talk about the uniqueness of the land of Israel, how the Holy Land, Eretz Israel, impacts the plague of tzara'at. And then we'll see at the end that there is a caveat to this idea of tzara'at in the home that applies uniquely to Yerushalayim. So we will conclude our discussion by talking about why Yerushalayim is in a category different to the rest of Israel. We'll get to that at the end. Okay. Is the question clear to everybody? Joy, happiness, any ideas, any thoughts before we enter the Kli Yakar? There's a responsibility on me as a resident in Israel that puts me at a higher, meaning that the standards that I need to comply with are greater than those of somebody who lives outside of Israel. That's inspiring. Thank you very much. That's a brilliant idea. Oh, amazing, amazing. Where everything is synced, it's all synced. It's one Torah, it's Yam Shel Torah. Okay. So I want to start with the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is Rav Shlomo Ephraim, I can't pronounce his surname here. Lunshintz. He was the Rav HaRashi, the chief rabbi of Prague in the 17th century. He wrote a very sweet commentary on the Torah. And I want to look at his idea to explain why it is that tzara'at of the home only applies in the land of Israel and doesn't apply elsewhere. So this is what he says. You see, it's in source number two. So he presents a number of different positions that I did not include. You know, whenever you get a source sheet, right, there's a certain disadvantage because the person who presents you with a source sheet only gives you the piece of the source that he wants you to see. So this is quite a long piece. If you want to, you can read the whole of it later. But what we're reading is a portion of what the Kli Yakar, he quotes other positions. And then he says, "V'hakarov elai lomar." I think This is what he says. Bazeh sheikar hatam ba'avur tsarut ha'ayin. Tsarut ha'ayin is like jealousy. Yeah, like a little bit nasty. Not the sweetest person. A person, it's probably hard for you to relate to this because you're good people. But it's somebody who looks at others like a, I don't know, with a, like to try to manipulate others, but not the sweetest person. Somebody who's got a little bit of a nasty person. Kumo shamru chazal, as the rabbis teach us, mina pasuk gvar shelo habayit. Ze sheyichad beito lo le'atzmo, v'lo haya mehane mimenu le'acherim. The Torah tells us over here that when you come into the land, and then in the second va asher lo habayit, somebody, this is in verse 35, lamadei, uva asher lo habayit, somebody who has his own home. There's a certain sense that as soon as I've established myself, as soon as I'm comfortable, you know, as soon as I've got everything that I need, so that I then close my door to other people. You know, as long as I need other people, as long as I'm working, I have to impress this person, I have to establish myself. But eventually I get to a position where I'm able to have security, that I've reached a stage in my life that I have that which I need, and I really don't have a need to rely on other people anymore. Asher lo habayit. I've got my own home. I'm established. In terms of myself, I'm doing fine. Once I've reached that sense of independence and personal security, I may, in that place, turn away from other people, because I don't have the need for other people anymore. I don't need to impress this person. I don't need to get a raise from that person. I don't need to work with other people, because I've now reached this position. I've got my own home. I don't know if you can tell, I'm originally from England. Is that clear to everybody? Is that a giveaway? Anyway, so in England, they say, it's a terrible thing to say about English people. It's not true. You know, like an Englishman's house is his castle. Then like once you're like, this is my territory, this is mine, I'm going to draw up the moat outside, draw bridge, close it up. I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't have need for other people. That there's, once I've reached my home, my security, that changes my relationship with the world around me, because I'm less dependent than I was until now. And that's the danger that, according to the Kli Yakar, one might get to. I'm going to continue reading inside. Ki levavur ze natan Hashem lo la'achuza bayit male kol tov. Now Hashem has given this person this wonderful home in order to test him. Is he going to share that which he has with others? Because as we read in Haggai, the second temple prophet, who says that really the kesef and zahav, you know, the silver and the gold, they all belong to God. Am I going to see my possession as belonging to me, or do I see it as my responsibility to share with others? So the truth is, according to the Kli Yakar, excellent point, it's less to do with being in the land of Israel, it's more about being in a place of security. That a place, that his focus is more on the bayit and the achuza. Bayit is my home, achuza is my possession. You're right, his focus is less about being physically in the land of Israel, it's more about being in a place of security. Now, you could add and say that there's no home in which I could feel security to the extent that I would feel it in Israel. I could have the most beautiful home in some foreign, you know, in London or in Manhattan, some beautiful place, but you never know if, you know, in two or three generations' time, if this is something where I can stay. But when I move to my achuzah, when I move to Israel and I build my home in, my permanent home, so there's a sense of stability that perhaps I wouldn't experience elsewhere. But you're right that his focus is not about the land of Israel. For that, we'll have to wait for the Chizkuni, who we'll come to in a few minutes. Okay, so he's talking about this sense of, it's really a test. How am I going to respond when I arrive to this sense of security? I'm going to skip a little bit just because it's quite long. The second paragraph. V'imken dinhu shetitnu mishelo la'aniye amo. This person who has his security in his home, you know, he has his sense, he's no longer dependent on others. To what extent will he be giving to others? V'im lo tishmu b'kol dvaro v'tiyu min tzarei ha'ayin ha'miyachasim ha'achuzah el atzmam. This jealousy and this sort of selfishness, and really this concept of lashon hara comes from a place of jealousy and selfishness. So if I'm still going to be experiencing those things, even from a place of security, then I will get this negat sarat bevet eretz achuzatchem. It's like a sign to remind you, don't think that it's all yours. There's no such thing as closing up my home to everybody else. That which I have was given to me in order to share with others, in order to assist the community at large. And if I'm going to be a bitter, jealous, nasty person, and really the Lashon Hara is wound up in that, then the tzaraat will come into my home to remind me that I'm not in a bubble, I'm not in a vacuum, I'm not by myself in the world, but I have responsibility to those outside of my, you know, outside of my immediate family. If you think this is exclusively yours and you have no responsibility to share with others, as if it belongs to you because you earned it, as if it's given to you and only belongs to you. That person that felt that their home is exclusively theirs and is not open at all to share with others, then that person is the person that will experience this, tzaraat in their home. So it's less about the holiness of Israel, it's more about a home, about the danger of complacency. I made it, I've set up my home, and now I can close my door to the needs of others. You know, I think Rabbi Sacks once spoke about that we judge the strength of a community by the extent to which the community assists those in need of within the community. And that's very much part of it. If the fact that I have does not, and therefore I'm secure, it doesn't allow me to cut myself off, but that which I have, it is my responsibility to use that for the sake of the community. And a tsar ayin, a selfish person that would lock themselves to themselves, would be susceptible, that the tzaraat would come as a warning for a person like that, to remind them that their responsibility is not exclusively for themselves, but it's for everyone around them as well. Now, just one more sentence about this. The Kli Yakar was the chief rabbi of Prague. And I wonder whether, he's speaking as a community rabbi. He felt this responsibility towards the Jewish community in Prague. In fact, I did a little, I don't know to what extent you can rely on Wikipedia, but when Wikipedia speaks about the life of the Jews in Prague, during the time that the Kli Yakar was the chief rabbi of Prague, these years were described as the golden age of the Jews of Prague. It was a very comfortable time for the Jews in Prague. So I wonder whether he was writing this, speaking to the Jewish community who were, Baruch Hashem, living in a sense of security, living in a sense of they were financially secure, that to remind them, even though you may not be dependent on others, that doesn't allow you to withdraw from society, but you now have a responsibility to take the resources that you have and to assist those in need within your society. And the tzaraat is really there to remind those who are comfortable that it's not kochi v'otzim yadi, it's not me, but really it's a gift from Hashem. Ki lia kesef v'hazav, as the prophet Haggai reminds us. So really, it's a, you know, Hashem is giving us this as a resource with which to help others who are in need. Okay, that is the first approach, the kli yakar, talking about a beit achuza, a home that I own. That home that I own is the home that's going to see the tzarat, because that's the home that has the danger of complacency. Okay, that's number one. Joy, happiness, is that clear to everybody? Excellent. So we'll move now from the kli yakar, move forward about 150 years, maybe more. Oh no, about 150 years, to the Netziv. Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who lived in Volozhin. And he has a different interpretation, also not connected to the land of Israel, but he has a second interpretation of why it is only that the home in Eretz Canaan is the home that would be affected by Tzarat. Do you see in source number three? Everyone here in source number three? Okay, so this is the Netziv. The Netziv says, Kvar hirgishu barabba. So he's quoting the Midrash now. I mean, the Midrash Rabba already made note of Alma Shiyicheta Katuv Eretz Canaan. The Torah talks about Eretz Canaan. Now, this is an unusual description of the land of Israel. After, you know, in Bereshit, it was quite common for the land of Israel to be called Eretz Canaan. But subsequently, it was called Eretz Zavat Chalav Utvash. It was, you know, it was called Ha'eretz. You know, there are different terms, Hamakom, the different terms that were used to describe the land of Israel in the Torah. It's interesting that the promise over here is about Eretz Canaan, and the Netziv picks up on this use of the word Canaan. And this is what he says. He says, Perusho Shahayu Socharim. The people of Canaan were socharim, merchants. Oh, thank you so much. The people of Canaan were merchants. They were involved in a mischar. Uchelashon Kana'iya nichbadei eretz. Quoting the verse from Yishayahu. V'hinei, masha Canaanim hayu socharim biyoter hu al pi hakatuv beparashat Shlach Lecha. We know that the people of Canaan were merchants from the verse in Shelach Lecha, where the Torah describes the land of Israel when the spies were going to visit the land of Israel. So the verse, the Canaanim are described as Vahaknani Yoshev al ha, Yoshev al Yam. Yeah, Yoshev al Yam. Sorry. You don't want, what's going on there? Excellent. The Kana'ani who were on the water, meaning they were on the coast. And as you know, in the ancient world, those people who were on the coast, those were the ones that were receiving, they were importing and exporting. These were the merchants. So the merchants who were living in the land of Israel at that time, the Kana'anim were the ones on the living on the coast, and they were the merchants. Now, why is that relevant, that they were merchants? The Yoshvei Chof Hayamim Mesugalim Lischora Biyoter Mimidina Limidina. Of course, the people who are on, you know, living by the sea, they are perfectly located for trade. You know, when the, you know, different, was sort of the raw materials coming from different continents, they are the people that are going to be receiving, they're going to be importing and exporting. They are the merchants. Aval adain yesh levaer ma shayach lekan zeh hakinui. Why is the land of Israel described here as Eretz HaKana'ani, the land of Kana'ani? Now he's explaining Kana'ani not as the land of the people of Canaan, but really the land of merchants. Because we're saying that the Kana'anim were the people that lived on the sea. The people that live on the sea are the merchants, and therefore, Eretz HaKana'ani, when you come to the land of merchants. Okay. V'nir'ah, it would seem to me, explains the Netziv, D'mishum, D'ikah HaTzara'at Ba'a Al Lashon Hara. As we know, this is well established. The Rambam writes this most clearly, that the tzaraat is a result of Lashon Hara. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, the punishment for someone who speaks Lashon Hara is tzaraat. Da'ahani ma'asav la'azik l'chaveiro, because he's causing pain to his friend. V'im kein, ikar Lashon Hara zo, matzui biyoter ben asocharim, hamit parsenim min harevach. So, it's a terrible thing to say, but people who are, in business, if I'm a merchant, so I'm involved in a competitive world, it's a zero-sum game. So a person who has chosen the profession of, to become a merchant, to be involved in this particular business, they are susceptible to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is such an interesting concept. I mean, just in brackets now for a second. I mean, I don't enjoy, but imagine if I was, just had a delicious burger, and then you walk past an ice cream store, and you just give into temptation. So I can understand the lure of having chalavi immediately after basari. I've just had basari, but whatever, it smells very good, and a weak person, chas v'shalom, could fall. But Lashon Hara, what benefit, what do I get? What's the value? Let's say Charlie over here. So what value do I have in sharing to you something negative about him? What's the hana'ah? What's the ta'ava to knock somebody else down? Why is that something that I would want to do? Like on Shabbat, you might, here or there. I can understand. It's a terrible thing. But at least you could understand why somebody may fall in that particular area. But Lashon Hara is such an odd thing to mess up on. Because what did you get? What was the benefit? How's your life richer by knocking down this other person? Why is that a valuable thing to do? But if I live in a world of competition and Charlie is a competitor, so then when I speak Lashon Hara about him, what I'm doing is I'm really strengthening my, strengthening my business. So the danger of Lashon Hara is most prevalent in a competitive society. Because in a competitive society, so when I knock him down, knocking him down automatically elevates me in my position. And in these, it's a terrible thing. And I really hope we don't have to live in this sort of place. And if we do, we should manage to escape. But if you are there, in this competitive world, there is a danger of Lashon Hara. And I understand that danger, because it's a zero-sum game. Zero-sum game. If he's up, I'm down. If I'm up, he's down. So I want him down, because if he's down, then I'm come up. And that's my Lashon Hara impetus. So that's really what the Nativ is saying over here. Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much. Explained over here that the verse seems to answer it. The verse says that the land of Israel is the land that I'm giving to you, right? And once I'm in the land that Hashem is giving to you, so then the rules are different in the land that Hashem is giving to you than a place that Hashem hasn't given to you. If I was to do this in London, the rules would be different to the way the rules are here in Israel. This is Hashem's land. And in Hashem's land, Ha'eretz Asher Ani Noten Lechem, so Hashem's rules in Hashem's land. We will see that positioned very strongly in a minute. Be'ezrat Hashem, in the words of the Chizkuni. But I want to finish off, the Nativ has a different approach, and he's talking about Eretz Canaan, meaning a land of trade, because the Canaanim are the people of trade, and people who are involved in trade are the people who are most likely, chas v'shalom, to be lured into a world of Lashon Hara. Okay, uva echad bikvulo shel re'eo, umishum hachi mitrape hakina v'tacharut, umevi lelashon hara. It's a competitive world. This competitive world will lead to lashon hara. Ma she'ein kein. However, somebody shechai ilatei avodat ha'aretz v'chadom. If someone's involved in a different profession, I live on a farm. On my farm, I've got cows. I've got my chickens. I've got my crop. I don't live in a competitive world. I'm not in a world of Kana'an, a world of competition. And therefore, I'm less susceptible to come to Lashon Hara. Ve'ina Lashon Hara ma'itsui b'neihem. Va'filu yehe mikol makom lo ahani ma'asav shi'agir l'idei onesh zarat. A person in a competitive environment should know to be wary. Eretz Kana'an is a competitive world. On the Netziv, I just want to quote something that I heard from my father, who heard it from his father. My father is Moshe Kohn, and his father was Rav Chaim Kohen, who was a rabbi in Germany before the war. And he said on the verse, Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you would say, of course, why would I not love my neighbor? Also, hava amina. I love my baker because he provides me with bread. I love my teacher because I have the honor of learning Torah from him. I have my bus driver, he's such a sweet person, takes me to wherever I need to go. Of course, I would love the people in my world because they're all essential to me. He said, "Va'ahavta l'reacha, you should love the people who are kamocha, the people who are like you." So if I'm a bus driver, so I need to love the other bus drivers. If I'm a baker, to love the other bakers. If I'm if I'm an accountant, to get on with the other accountants. The chup is not to get on with the people who I need, but the va'ahavta should extend even to the people with whom I am in competition. V'ahavta l'reacha, to the people who are kamocha, who are like you. And that's really very much in line with what the Netziv is saying over here, that a competitive world, a world of Kana'an, which we're explaining is competition, that world of competition is there. That's the world where you need to be wary for Lashon Hara. Okay, that's number two. That is the Netziv. Joy, clear, happiness. Okay, now we're coming to your position. This is the Chizkuni. Chizkuni, actually we're going backwards. He's the earliest of the three positions that we've seen, but I wanted to save it until the last because it connects with Rav Hirsch at the end. He says, Ne'emar ki tavo le'eretz Kanan. When you come to the land of Israel, this is really beautiful. Ba'avur ma'alat Eretz Yisrael, because of the greatness, the elevated status of the land of Israel. Is it possible for us to read these words without getting excited? Because we're here. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's such an honor to say these words in this place. Bishvil ma'alat Eretz Yisrael, shahamikdash atid liyot betocha. The temple will be built in it. Exactly what you were saying earlier, that there are expectations here in the land of Israel, which are different to the expectations outside of Israel. The land of Israel needs to be a place which is naki v'tahor. The way that we speak here should be different to the way that we speak outside of Israel. The way that we behave here in Israel should be different to the way we behave outside of Israel. To have the honor of living in Eretz Israel is a responsibility. Is a responsibility, and we have to take that responsibility seriously. I just want to share on this point something very, very sweet. A very quick story, and then we'll get to Rav Hirsch. When I was a kid, our family, my father's related to Rav Shlomo Karlebach, and we were very close when I was a little boy. I always used to get excited when he would come to visit our home in London. It was always exciting. And then once I was in yeshiva in Israel, and he came to our home in London, and I was very upset because I was missing him. He was there and I was here. So he called, which was very sweet, he called from my parents' home, and he said something very sweet. I want to share with you what he said, because it fits in nicely with the Chizkuni. He said, you know, how could you moan about being in Eretz Yisrael? I was in Keren Biafna at the time. How could you moan? You have the greatest honor of the world to be in the land of Israel. He said, a Shabbat in London, which we were, is the equivalent, meaning I feel Shabbat in London as I might feel on a weekday here in Israel. And then a Yom Tov in London, you know, when you get to Pesach Shavuot, so got that excitement of Pesach in London, hits the same as you get every week here for a Shabbat in Israel. Then you get to the Yamim Noraim in London. Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim in London. That is like Yom Tov. That's like Pesach here in Israel. And then Yamim Noraim here in Israel. So that's nothing. That's you can't, until you're here, you can't experience it. There's nothing in the world like Yamim Noraim here in Israel. So we're in a different world. The world of Israel is a place of a place of Tahora. Because it's a place where we have a greater responsibility here in Israel, therefore it's Davka in the land of Israel that we have this responsibility. Okay, that is the Chizkuni. I want to add, and this is very interesting, the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us, and Rav Hirsch quotes the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that that which I mentioned, that this whole idea of this negatzarat on your home, this negatzarat on the home in the land, only in the land of Israel, there is one exception. Do you know what the exception is? The Gemara tells us that if I have a home in Yerushalayim, exactly, a home in Yerushalayim doesn't have tzarat. Meaning, the only place, you need the holiness of the land of Israel, but Yerushalayim doesn't have negatzarat in Yerushalayim. Why is that? Oh, this is so beautiful. Listen to this. This is Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, now he died in 1888. I was wondering, as I was learning Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, could he have imagined when he wrote what we're about to read, could he imagine that we would have the honor of learning his words here at the OU Israel Center in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh? It's such an honor to learn what he wrote here in Yerushalayim. I can't imagine that he could have dreamt that just 150 years later, less than 150 years later, we'd be reading what he taught. Nachon, 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 absolutely right. Nachon, you're right, Aliyah, yes. Ki tavo, nig'ei batim nogim rak be'eretz Yisrael, as we saw. V'rak l'achar shenitchalka lishvatim. Only it's been divided in, you know, once it'd be allocated. This what, as we read at the end of the book of Yehoshua. V'nimtza kol echad makir et shelo. Everybody knows where they need to go. Bota sha'a kva hayta ha'aretz achuza. V'nitkaim asher lo habayit. Everyone knows where they need to go. And then he continues in the second paragraph. Keneged zeh eim Yerushalayim mit see that that Yerushalayim is not a home in Yerushalayim doesn't get negaim. Why? Shaharei Yerushalayim lo nitchalka lishvatim. The city of Yerushalayim was not divided. It's not in this shevet or that shevet. Why? Because Yerushalayim belongs to everybody. Ein maskirim batim biYerushalayim lefisha ein ashelen. It's not yours to give out. Ha'olim liYerushalayim hayu zakayim ladur ba bechinam. Ba'alei ha'batim lo hayu rasha'im litol demei zechirut. Sha'arei, I thought it doesn't work that way so well. Anyway, sha'arei heim atzmam lo nechshevu ba'alim levateyem. There's no such thing as me owning Yerushalayim more than you owning Yerushalayim. So I can't have a private, I can't have my castle in Yerushalayim as I could have it anywhere else in Israel. You know who said the Englishman's a castle? You pull up the drawbridge. That can't happen in Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim, lo nitchalka lishvatim, it wasn't divided up. Yerushalayim belongs to all of us. So it's on an even more elevated level. So you have you have the world outside of Eretz Yisrael. Then you come to Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. That is the Nachala. That's our Achuzah. That's our possession. And then you go even higher than that, which is Am Yisrael's home, and that is Yerushalayim. Oh, Tzar Li HaMakom. Absolutely. There was always room for everybody. If you read at the very end, Elie Wiesel, we're going over time, I apologize. Elie Wiesel, it's very interesting, actually. I don't know the exact context of this, but it was in 2010, he put out full page adverts, and he put them in all these big newspapers, in New York Times. It was also in the Wall Street Journal and a couple of other American publications. It's a long, long piece about Yerushalayim, but I really think he was mamash hit the nail on the head in what he writes over here. He wrote, Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people. It's much more than a city. It's what binds one Jew to another in a way that remains hard to explain. When a Jew visits Jerusalem for the first time, it's not the first time. It is the home. Isn't that beautiful? That's mamash domer to the words of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. So I want to conclude with a blessing. We looked at three positions about the Nika'im. We spoke about the importance of a home being open to others. That was the Kli Yakar. We spoke about the Netziv, the importance of a society that's not competitive, a society of Va'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, where we have respect, not for the people who are different to me, because obviously you get on with them because they don't compete with me, but to get on even with the people who compete with me, even the Kna'anim, the merchants, to get on with them, that's the second. And then finally, we looked at the Chizkuni, Rav Shimshon Ful Hirsch, and then at the end, Elie Wiesel, the talk about the uniqueness of the city of Yerushalayim. It's really such an honor and a pleasure to learn with you here in the city of Yerushalayim. We should all be blessed to help make this beautiful city a city for all of Am Yisrael, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Mikol Arzot HaGola, they should be able to find their home in this wonderful city. Yishar Koach. Yishar Koach.